your title again?
And I did not live in a little money.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Okay. We're rolling. Handheld. Trustworthy Olympus. Don't you just love that sound? I'm out near, I don't know, Clarington, I guess. Right beside the Darlington nuclear facility. I'm sitting in my car on a dirt road with my face. No, not my face. Facing. Let's use a verb there, not a noun. Facing a herd of cows. It's kind of nice. My mother loved cows, and there is something fairly peaceful about them. It is rural, it is countryside, and this is a road that sort of you get to it by exiting Highway 34 from the 401. And there's a town, actually a flea market. What was it? Cortice. Anyway, Cortice Road. Angie read about it when he was in Japan. He likes going to beaches and looking at rocks and things. One of those guys, which I think is quite wonderful. And so I asked him if he had any plans for the weekend, and he said he'd like to get out here, and he was thinking, you know, wasn't sure how he'd do it. And I realized, well, this really is the perfect combination of me driving him out here after church. So here we are. I went in, there's a flea market, and I had some poutine with pulled pork. I think I could have done without the pulled pork, but for an extra $2, it was a full meal. Not overly impressed with the flea market. Wow, not much there. I mean, several buildings, but boy. Really scraping the bottom in terms of, you know, antiques and collectibles. I suppose there might be a few specialty items, you know, hockey cards and things like that. Stuff for car racing that maybe some people might be interested in, but probably not one I would come back to. God, I love that sound. So, anyway, AJ is still out there with his hammer, and I walked up to the top of the bluffs looking down on the beach and could hear the clink, clink, clink of his hammer against the rock. So he's having a happy time, and it really makes me feel good. This is, hey, this guy's come all the way from Japan. This is his fifth time to Canada on this study tour, this being the 22nd version. And always you try and do something nice for the teacher so they have an extra memory, something a little different from just dragging them along with the students the whole time. So that was my treat for him today. But it turned out to be a treat for me, too, because I picked him up at Kennedy. We went to my church, West Hill United, and I sort of gave him an overview of what it was. And I didn't realize that he had gone to a Protestant school in Japan, a high school, and was quite familiar with Christianity, but I think was at the point of not wanting to believe in God either, or doesn't. And so he was kind of open to the idea of coming and seeing what my church was about. Well, we're sitting there, me and my rocking chair in the back, and then I see one of the host families come in with her two girls, and I thought, oh, that's so nice. Host family doing it for the first time this year from the church, and they brought the two girls in. And then I look over the other side of the church, and oh, there's another host, and they've brought in their girl as well. Good, three of the girls. And then the service is just starting. Scott is playing the piano, welcoming everybody in. And a woman shows up with four girls, two of her own and two from her friend, who wasn't a member of the church, and brought four girls. So within this church on this Sunday, there were seven girls from Japan and a Japanese teacher. And I tell you, I got all weepy and teary-eyed with a kind of joy of being responsible for this, of this connection. You know how I often talk about, it's been a running theme since I started this podcast, of bringing the pieces together. I felt I had these separate selves. And I've been quite serious when I've talked about I'm using this podcast or maybe just checking in every week as a way of finding out, where did I get to? How far have I come? am I making progress? And there have been many times I felt I was in reverse and not making anywhere. But it is over 10 years now that I've been doing this on a weekly basis. And today, there was that realization, wow, there's Ken who's working, who every summer brings these girls from Japan. There's Ken who goes to this church. There's Ken who's in this men's group who likes to talk about things. And suddenly today, there's this beautiful overlap of the different selves, of everything coming together. And it just, it was a thing of beauty. I took photos and I talked to Scott, Greta's husband, got him in the middle of the photos. And I really did feel this beautiful connection of this coming together. Now, a highlight was Babette, our lead singer, head of the choir, singing an absolutely beautiful solo song about, I guess it was just kind of about, even if we're close or far, we need to do whatever we can to make life better. To make life better. I want to live a life that makes yours better. I think that was one of the lines in the song. And it was quite beautiful and quite simple. And of course, the words are up on the screen. The girls could get some of that. Now, part two was our speaker, who I mentioned last week, Chris DiCarlo, who had his PowerPoint slides again, so microscopic you could not see them up on the window, but he would just highlight and call out a few. And it, to be honest, it was a little bit like he was speeding his way through a university lecture, just trying to, hey, I don't have much time here. I was out late last night. I don't have a lot of energy. Here goes. And here are the main points. It wasn't until he stopped and answered questions at the end that it got very interesting. For example, about, is it pedophilia? Pedophiles, because the topic was sex, the biological drives for it, of how, hey, it has to be pleasurable or the human species won't reproduce, and so for its survival, it has to be pleasurable. And then he applied that. I mean, it was an interesting talk. It's just that it was an awkward talk for the one time I had brought all these 15, 16-year-old girls, and he's talking about homosexuality strange acts and what's forbidden in the Bible and the Quran. And it just got into kind of almost Weirdsville. Fortunately, I don't think any of the girls understood what was going on. And Scott summed it up nicely at the end and said, all we're really talking about here is that everybody is different and we have to be forgiving and understanding and tolerant and love one another. And that was pretty well the point of it in the end. The questions, they were interesting in that people were saying a lot of gay people hate the fact that gayness or being a homosexual sort of gets mixed in with being a pedophile, you know, in the media sometimes, in people's minds, not separating the two. And he got into the fact that just as homosexuality is not a choice, it's something, it's biological, it's a neurobiological conditioning for all of our sexual appetites. It's the same with pedophilia. And it's so easy to hate, and that we can say culturally, hey, this is verboten. You cannot do this as a society, as a culture. We draw a line here. You cannot have sex with children who are not in control of their lives and don't know, you know, about making responsible choices. You cannot take advantage of them. Bam, there is the line. But it is very much a cultural thing, of course. And it got to this, the topic of harm versus tolerance, how it's on a sliding scale. And as harm increases, tolerance decreases. And I thought that was an interesting way of summing it up, too. And as people get hurt, suddenly society becomes less and less tolerant of whatever that behavior was that led to it. What he was saying was basically hate the act, perhaps, of pedophilia, of taking advantage of children. But you can't always, even though it's easy and even though everybody does, you can't necessarily hate the pedophile, because if they are wired this way, it's not, again, it's not quite by choice. You might say, well, everybody has a choice to act on it or not. I see a nice woman, I don't reach out and grab her tits, even though it'd be very nice to. You just don't do that. Not everybody is as capable of controlling their urges, and sadly, that's the case. So anyway, it got into very interesting territory, but it's just an odd thing that, whoa, this is what church is about? Sex? Where it got also quite interesting was when he said, I'm just going to talk about the two main religions which have so many people, Christianity and Islam, and how they both forbid in their holy books, the scriptures, homosexuality. And it's absolutely taboo in Islam. And so as a professor, at the start of his class, when he's doing, he teaches philosophy, he will say, if you happen to be a Muslim and you happen to be a homosexual, you are not wrong. You are not the problem. Your religion is. Now, that's a very gutsy thing to say. And, of course, a lot of people, I mean, these are the kind of things that get them fired. But he's right. And so he's actually created a safe space with, you know, what do you call it, protected or encrypted email, and places where if you are, you can reach out to somebody who will understand your situation and you don't have to live in fear. Because coming out in certain countries, it's a death sentence. And even coming out here against your religion, be it Catholic or... We've loosened up a lot. But there are still other religions that will just, you know, well, you are wrong and you must change, and there's no room for tolerance at all, and Islam being the strongest. So I was really glad he didn't pussyfoot around. He took a very strong stand. Hey, sorry, folks. It's the religions that are wrong, not the individual. Bam. He's right on. Be compassionate. One of the themes. I'm looking at some of the notes I made. I guess one of the things, the essence of this church that we go to is, what does it mean to be a good person? What is it? What is it about? What's involved? And that's when it gets into the no harm. Homosexuality is not a choice. Gay Catholics will never see their family in heaven. Oh, how dear me. If you are a gay and a Catholic, you will never meet your mommy and daddy again in heaven because you've sinned. We developed sex organs at least a billion years ago. Okay. So, last week on episode 570, I just, in passing, you know, I just talk, I turn this on, I talk, and words tumble out, and I think I've said the right thing, and often it's the wrong name, the wrong place, the wrong day, the wrong year, the wrong number, you know, lots of wrongs. Last week, I just listened back to last week's episode, and I said, while Greta's in hospital, I meant while Greta's on holiday, not in hospital, on holiday. So please correct your notes if you've been taking any. Thank you. I guess I can leave it there. Afterwards, of course, we stood, we took pictures, the girls had coffee. They all looked a little shy, but they all looked so sweet and innocent and young. And it is such a beautiful thing. And the families who've taken these girls in are just so kind. It's honestly, it is a beautiful thing. That's the main thing I wanted to say today. I've said it. I won't go on too much longer. AG should be along soon. He needed at least 2 hours to bang rocks. I hope it's not going to be too much more than that. But, hey, it's all good. I'm going to take him back to the Cordis flea market so he can have some poutine for his lunch. And then get on home. And I still have a lot of preparation to do before we leave for camp Friday. Yeah. So, boys, girls, this is Ken today on this fine Sunday, January or July. You see, there I go. July 24th. Signing out. Stay tuned. I don't know where this one will end or if I'll get it out before I leave for camp. I may well. Doesn't matter. Excuse me. Here is a tune. Bye for now.
I was dancing when I was 12. I was dancing when I was 12. I was dancing when I was out. I was dancing when I was out. I danced myself right out the womb. I danced myself right out the womb. Is it strange to dance so soon? I dance myself right out the room. I was dancing when I was 8. I was dancing when I was 8. Is it strange to dance so late?
Which I still love, and so, I say it all the time, but
yeah.
Oh, thank you.
And having that group of people there once a year, and you look around, and it's comfortable, even with new people, it's comfortable.
Yeah, and I think it partially, and a lot of people go through this whole thing. Well, we're all introverts or some bullshit, or it's because we were all the geeky kids or some other bullshit. And I think it's actually because we're pretty decent people. I think it's that. I think we all have, we're all different, and I think some of us are introverted, and some of us are geeky, and some of us are whatever. But I think for the most part, this thing self-selects decent people, which makes me sound self-serving, and so be it. Fuck you if you don't like it.
Now I'm going to say this much. There are people who listen to this podcast who are from fairly far afield. I mean, we get people who comment, and like people who we don't necessarily even know, who just found this podcast for some reason.
Yes. Paul Kane, who often comments on the Facebook page. I think he's from Arizona.
That's the Marshall McLuhan podcast roundtable.
Not that far. Yeah, that's right. I didn't think the internet reached all the way to Arizona.
Anthony Bob and Dave.
I really didn't. Well, I thought that it was a wall that was built by that sheriff guy.
Back on
I went on the
gathering
the other day and I
Hamilton.
Turned the I turned the antenna.
I'm just going to fade it out.
The fact that you said roof is
I find it
I went on the roof.
Interesting that I've gone from I guess the first pab to being the
I mean, don't get me wrong. I know that it can be
the beloved uncle. By this event, you know, how many years later? Fuck off, old man. And of course, I love both those. No offense. No offense taken whatsoever, Dr. Dave.
We all started.
I guess I'm just really glad to be a part of this group. I'm glad I don't know if I had to weasel my way in. I don't think so. I was just there because I'm, as much as anybody, deeply into podcasting.
That's right. Well, it didn't,
physical meeting.
It didn't get that physical, but
But, you know, let me hear your body talk. But
thanks, Paul.
Thank you. But, you know what I mean? Like, it's... this is what's still unique after all these years of podcasting is that in almost every situation you'll meet somebody face to face, and then you build up a or even online. It doesn't get more personal than especially the type of podcasting we all do.
Yeah,
where we're not typically using personas or trying to shill something, or it's not usually subject driven. At least not all of our stuff is. We all make ourselves vulnerable and accessible personally through our podcast.
Yep. There you go. That's it in a nutshell.
Kind of like the ethos of the tribe, right?
Yep.
And we don't have this event, like, even though it sounds like it's some kind
if you're listening to my podcast.
Glorification of this podcast, it's really not that.
No, we just need a name.
Consider that an open invitation.
Really an opportunity to get together and see people and have conversations. So
to show up next July.
You have to come in and think it's going to be some kind of fan con or something.
Marshall McLuhan.
Oh, please. If it ever became that, I don't want to show up.
Podcast roundtables in Hamilton.
But it's also... cosplay as me, Bob Rand. That would be great.
It's drinks. It's drinks. It's food. It's conversation.
Exactly.
There you go. Drinks, food, conversation. Good enough.
It can get technical. I was talking again to that dude.
Okay, I'm gonna fade that out. You gotta just go listen to
levels and shit. And then I talked to other people.
John Meadows and I talk politics. Google Anthony Marco. You'll find a whole lot of things you want to listen to. Thank you. My turn now. I'm parked under my favorite maple tree here at the St. Andrew's Cemetery because I got a few minutes to kill before... Well, not to kill, to share with you. Come on. Before Shoppers Drug Mart opens up and I can pick up my much-needed blood thinners before I go on my tour Friday... it's Wednesday today. It's our Toronto Island Day. We get a bus down to the ferry docks, hop on a ferry. Hope like hell it doesn't pour rain or thunderstorm. That has happened in the past. Rent our bicycles for an hour. There are quads and all any configuration of bike they have available here. I get the whole bunch. All right, get them all. They're for us for an hour. We do this every year. My good friend Gordon... over there, and we just have a blast, have fun, Toronto Island. So it's getting you the end of this tour. I am tired. I mean, it is no matter what. This year I have learned to be smarter. I'm taking this morning off. I'm just saying, okay, listen, I got work to do back home because I haven't packed for this tour. And you're packing for a couple of weeks, you know. And I'm a serious packer. I need my shirts. And then all the tech stuff to bring, and the chargers, and there's just, you know, you just don't want to forget anything. And then after that, prepare for camp, too. Well, Jesus, you better bring the mosquito spray and this and that. So I just said, hey, guys, I'm sorry. I won't be here this morning when the girls are doing their presentations on famous Canadians. But I'll be back with the sub sandwiches at noon, and off we go. Still, every day is a little bit of adapting, you know. Yesterday, I spent the whole day writing checks to all the host families, and already got good news. One woman who I wasn't sure was into it said, I've got two friends who want to do this next year. Well, whoa, that's the way to go. That's a great start. The other family's absolutely loving it and saying thank you for sending us these lovely young ladies. So it truly is heartwarming, and there's not many jobs out there. And again, I don't even think of this as a job, really. It's just something I do, but make money at as well. That just spreads a lot of joy and happiness and kindness and love. It really does. That's no exaggeration. So, all right, you've heard that before. What do I want to say? Well, we get the usual run-ins every day. There's things like bus drivers that don't show up on time, or there's miscommunication. Monday, supposed to have a bus come 1 o'clock. No bus. I call up. No, you don't have any buses. No. Check your list. And I go, well, no, I got every single paper here on my iPad that, you know, I've told you is synced with my main computer. Here is the document. I look it open. I realize, oh, shit. When I applied, I put Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then the dates I forgot to change, and they were last year's dates. So it said 2015, but they just changed the date. So they gave me Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. July 26, 27, 28, or 27, 28, 29, yeah. So the guy said, no, you don't have a bus today, and you don't have a bus tomorrow. You don't have a bus. You got buses Friday. Well, we're not even in town Friday. Whoa. So I made a mistake by not going over, printing out and going over the fine-tooth comb. The confirmation, right? I had the right places were right. The pickup, everything is right. I just glanced. Oh, that's good. That's what we asked for. But no, the dates are all wrong. So that was that. No bus. And I thought, well, gee, there's about, you know, 100 kids at a daycare center waiting to see our girls come and sing songs and dance for them. And I phoned up. I said, look, I remember we might have to cancel. There's no bus. Went back in with the teachers, said, we've got a plan B, and I guess together we realized, wait a minute now, we can actually get on the TTC. We're only going down one street, Pharmacy. Our school's on Pharmacy. This daycare center, a community center, is on Pharmacy. We'll take the TTC. So suddenly panicking, somebody checks on their iPhone. There's a bus in 10 minutes. Everybody, get up, grab your bags. Line up here. I know I don't have cash, I don't have tickets. I just tell the driver, listen, I got a group of kids, our bus didn't show up. We negotiate a little bit. He said, well, if they're under 12, it's free. I said, well, not quite. They're about 15. And I just put $70 into the cash box. And it was such a wonderful thing. Here's a 50, here's a 20. This should cover it. And bam, we're dropped off outside the daycare center. We did it. Problem solved. Like, this is amazing. When a bus doesn't come, on the one day, there is actually a plan B, an alternative. Oh, my God, that was so amazing. And same thing coming back. We knew the time of the bus. We get on. I tell the guy, I got a bunch of girls here. $70 coming, $70 going. Put it in. The strange thing is, of course, they canceled the first tour. I didn't have that bus. I ended up saving about $100. Because the buses are more than, they're about $260 to charter one of those school buses. Yo, anyway, it's the kind of thing that you constantly have to be on your toes. Everything is sort of in flux, you know, it's all planned, but things can go wrong, you know. You just got to be ready to adapt. Something else happened. Anyway, that meant last night, wow, right to the company. Hey, oh yeah, yesterday the Eaton Center, we had a, you know, one guy's phoning me at 3:30 in the afternoon. What time am I picking the girls up? I said, you should be there now, waiting. No, I'm in the yard. Nobody told me where to go. And oh, my God, here we go again. Bus company thought we were picking up at 5. No, we're supposed to be home at 5. So little things like that can actually, you know, almost turn your hair gray, except I'm already there. But you just adapt. You solve them. You roll with them. And I'm getting better and better and better at doing that. And I'm loving my role with the host families. And, you know, the reason I go on a lot about this, and the reason I go on to a lot of things that may seem repetitious on this podcast, is because it is a reflection of my own personal growth. Like 22 years ago, or 1993, when we first started this, I was almost afraid of the Holtz family. Well, that's somebody else's job. We had a vice principal of Con Ed at the East York Board of Education. No, Dave gets the Holtz families. I don't do that. And I couldn't remember who's who. And Dave just seemed to know what to do. And just over the years, gradually, as this tour became mine, as it shifted from here to here, and we created this new company, Canadian Study Tours, and gradually, it all ends up in my hands, everything. It's my program. I mean, I started it, but still, other people were doing more jobs. I had to learn those jobs, and I had great teachers through Japan Travel Bureau, through the East York Board of Education, people who were role models to me and helped guide me along the way. To the point now, I love going up to the cars and talking to the host parents. And, hey, how's it going? Like, how are the girls doing? And how'd it go last night? And did they cook for you yet? And how was that? And, oh, bam, I'm right into it. And that's so different from where I was, you know, when this first started. And it's just been a very gradual evolution, a true growth for me. And it's the thing I'm selling to the girls. This is a growing learning experience for you. This is a challenge. And it's the same for the teachers, too. I have one younger teacher here, 26 years old, who this will be a real learning experience for her. So that's all. I guess I got to go get my pills. I do really have to get home and start organizing. What do I need for the tour? What documents do I need? What papers do I need? The number of checks I'm going to have to bring. So much to consider. I mean, even like every little birthday counts. If a girl has a birthday on the tour, you don't want to forget that. You want to make a big deal. So I've got my Disney creatures. I've got the cards. Getting girls to sign the cards right now. And on and on. So that's it for now. A big chunk of the work has already been done. Yeah, we're doing fine. It was a pleasure listening to the reflections on Kingston, or not Kingston, Hamilton. And I do agree, Hamilton is the great place to do it.
I talked about other things. You know, we also talk about podcasting.
It is a character.
It's a very good
in this whole podcast community.
Place to meet and hang out and just be. And everybody pretty much gets on with everybody.
Yeah.
There aren't any really A-list or B-list or cliques or anything.
Mm-hmm.
No. Yeah, it's just people hanging out.
Yeah. There you go. There you go, everybody.
Yeah,
if
thank
you can come next year, come next year.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Trust
open invitation.
Trust me, for those of you who complain, you know, that you want more advance notice, I'm pushing these guys as early as I can.
Yeah.
And I'm not blaming them. I'm just saying. We start to try and think about it as early as we can.
We start thinking in March. It's a matter of when Bob and I can figure out our vacations.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah, well, get on that, because it does make a difference.
Bob has a proper job.
Yes. We have had a couple of, I think two of the three have been on the second weekend in July, so.
Yeah.
That seems to be a common time anyway.
It works beautiful for me. That's even better next year.
He was going to say, I want to plan for next year so I can be there. Well, you know, put X's on the... chances are it's not the first weekend in July. That's Canada Day, and that's Independence Day in the U.S.
Yeah.
We probably won't do it then. But it's the second weekend in July or the, you know, or third weekend in July. I think that's the... If you want to narrow it down and warn the people you work for with or about...
You still need specifics. You still need to book flights.
And say it's one of those two weekends.
Yeah.
Be ready for it.
Yeah.
You know,
Black Day. There you go.
All right. Thank you. Enough of that. Enough of me. And I don't know when this will get cobbled together. I don't think I'll be able to release it before I leave, because unless it's a shorty. So, boys, girls, Nixon James listeners, I know this often seems so much about me. It is. It's a personal podcast. It's a journey. It may have more meaning in some ways to me. I listen back, and sometimes I'm surprised at what I said, and surprised especially when I make so many mistakes about people's names and dates and places and so on, wrong cities, but hey, you know, I'm getting old. It's amazing the brain works as well as it does, considering what I started with. All right. Bye for now. Signing out. Back soon. Here's a tune. Yeah. Check. You're going to hear a water fountain in the background. You're going to hear traffic noise. You're going to hear people walking by. And you're going to hear me just getting caught up. I'm in Niagara on the Lake. I podcast from here. I think I record a clip here every year. Now, I'm leaving for camp tomorrow. Whether or not I'll have the time tonight to put all this together and say farewell from Toronto before we start the next phase of our study tour, I don't know. this is our Niagara Falls day. You know, we leave Wexford around 8:30 in the morning on this beautiful big coach. Batter Coach Company, about these brand new, you know, gorgeous things. I got my seat in the front and talk to the driver and plan the times and everything else. It's lovely, but hey, I mean, how many times can you do Niagara Falls? This has got to be at least my 20th, well, 25th time, if I count my family. Getting on that Maid of the Mist, going under the falls, getting wet, coming back. Now, the good lunch we have at Betty's, fabulous fish and chips. I mean, it's that alone is worth the trip. The young ladies have been behaving themselves beautifully, on time, polite, quiet. The restaurants just rave every time. Oh, my God, they're so polite. They're better than our regular customers. So that's always nice. Now we've given the girls an hour to go shopping up and down the main street of Niagara on the Lake. In the old days, there's so much history to this program, given that this is the 22nd. In earlier years, at this point, I would have been racing down to the shop at the end of the street. They have an LCBO, and I'd be stocking up on booze for camp, which has always been the day after. But neither of these teachers drink much. Camp has said no alcohol allowed, which, of course, I'm free to ignore, but it's just different, and mostly I just can't walk. I mean, it's really... It came to a head yesterday on Toronto Island. It sort of involved the most walking yet. And my body was a wreck, and I came back. I was in pain, a lot of pain. I don't like to whine about that. My dear wife, so kind. She's prepared a special meal every single evening, knowing I'll be tired from this tour, even though she's tired from her job and things going wrong. She's just gone out of her way to prepare wonderful dishes. It's so good of her. But yeah, I was just in pain, and today, the little bit of walking we've had to do around Niagara Falls, it's a bit much. So I've got a lot more to face with camp and the tour of Quebec and city and Ottawa. I don't know how I'm going to manage, but I'll have to. I got a few anti-inflammatories I can take to maybe reduce a little bit of swelling, which if that's the cause of any of the pain. I do have painkillers, and I'm just not taking them. And, of course, I have my prescription meds, the special stuff I consume, but I can't do that on the tour and function. Not a chance. I'd just be crazy. So I'll just have to live with it, and that's fine. And, again, I don't want to go on too much about it. It's not very interesting listening to somebody talk about pain. But it's there, and tiredness. But this is year 22, or 22nd time we've done this. I would really like to make it to 25, another 3 years, another three tours. I think I've got it in me. Each year, again, it's a little special. We tweak it just a little bit. We, you know where we stop for lunch on the island. Each little thing, each little year, you just try and make it just something a little different, something a little bit, you know, to reflect on. I have good staff, good teachers with me. So, anyway, I guess I've got not much more in me other than reflecting on what is consuming my life right now, and that is this tour. More frustrations with, you know, booking school buses and then having one driver drop you off and say, don't worry, the other guy, you know, Rogel is coming to meet you. Here's his coach number. And then you find out Rogel never fucking shows up and that it wasn't the right coach number anyway. Somebody completely different comes half an hour late. And you know you got 20 families waiting to pick the girls up late. You were late because of fucking tour company. It's very, very frustrating. And, you know, again, I'm trying to ride it, stay cool. Don't blame the drivers. It's always the dispatcher's fault. It's not the drivers. But this company has really burned me this year. This is First Student. They've been great every year, and I don't know who to complain to when I get back, but I sure have to put it in. I mean, I'm paying $300 a day for one of those buses for, you know, just two simple trips, and I'm getting burned. You know, pickup time is always fine. The for taking us to wherever we're going, it's having a bus, finding a bloody bus to take us back. You know, you come out of the Queen's Quay, and there's 20 buses by the same company. You know, in small print, you've got to walk up to each one and find the letters. And, oh, we can't give you the bus driver's and the phone number. We're not allowed. Yeah, well, how do they find it? You got my number. It's on every invoice I've done. But maybe they forgot to give that to the driver. So that's the hell we're dealing with. I'm getting angry. I'm getting really frustrated because there's all these fucking people walking down. You know, my wife says she was angry at me last night because my phone was ringing from a text message and I couldn't get to it in time. And I said, my automatic response is, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. It just happens. Like, that's what comes out. And it's not pleasant for the people around me to hear that, and I should know better. And she said, just stop saying that. It's not nice. Don't do it. And she's perfectly right. But Jesus Christ, you know, when things don't go right. And I'm not thinking of the real Jesus, if there was one, when I say that. It's just, that's something that comes out easy. It sort of rolls off the tongue. Oh, for Christ's sake. Jesus Christ. Oh, fuck. You know? So I've got a little bit of that building up in me because I've been trying to suppress it. And, of course, amongst the students, I've got to be very, very polite. Like yesterday when I was handing out envelopes, with strict instructions for a couple of girls, don't leave. And these are the Canadian girls, without coming to me first. Well, of course, they didn't come to me first. They just left. And I had to count 10 in front of the students and smile and say, okay, all right, I'm calm. We're good. Let's go. Moving on. So, but fortunately, I don't have to do too much of that. And I never have to do it because of the girls. They're just sweet and perfect. And all the families say that. But what I don't get, Canada, fucking shape up, you know, fix your game a little better. Like this business of CN Tower making a teacher stand 30 minutes in the hot sun to pick up tickets you ordered 6 months ago. Jesus Christ. And then school buses, you book them and they sort of got the wrong times. And so you email them the night before and say, no, look, this is the pickup time. And it seems no matter who you send it to, I copied 3 people on the email. I don't think it ever got to a driver, an actual driver. Things like that, you know. They wear you down. They tire you out. Niagara Falls is easy. We just drive straight in with our own coach. We got a guide. Peter Neufeld, who's done this for years, a wonderful older man, probably 70-something now, who's done this every year. He talks, the girls sleep, but that's okay. And we really, really enjoy the little visit sightseeing. It's always a cool place to come to, no matter how many times, but still. When I come here, I think of my family, and I think of the few times we did, and always that wish. I wish they were children again. I wish they were just little boys again. And I could show them exciting things. Oh, my God, the pain of seeing your children grow up, of losing them, I guess, in a way. And I know some of you out there have young children, and you already know the deal. Celebrate. And this time you got to back away. I mean, hey, it's not all roses and sunshine every minute of the day. Not when a little kid is throwing a tantrum or misbehaving or complaining or this or that. Or you've had a bad day and they want this or that. But still, when childhood is over, it's a sad thing. So, I listened to Barack Obama last night, speaking at, of course, the convention for Hillary. And he spoke wonderfully, and he really, I mean, all of them really nailed Trump. Like, how could you seriously even consider voting for this man? How did he ever get into this position? The shock, you know. So, of course, the big scandal was Trump told the Russians, go ahead, hack more email and show it all. Go ahead and do your stuff, Russia. And the, of course, response is, how could a man wanting to be president tell a foreign country to hack our email server? This is outrageous. And then, of course, his response today after the backlash was, well, hey, I was only being sarcastic. So, you know, that almost covers him. Oh, you mean you weren't serious about that? It was just a joke. Yeah, well, not a really good joke. So, I don't know. I guess what has to happen is that Hillary has to really get hold of and make promises to Bernie's group. I do believe there's a movement there. I listen to Bernie, of course, and I think there really are a lot of people who are really almost a 60s type of renewal of wanting a better world, a more just world, a more fair world with pay equality and equal rights, and no more of this, all the money going straight to the top with the hope that it trickles down, and fair taxes, and make the corporate giants pay, and so on and so on. I think that's such a strong message. It's almost like the message of, you know, the 1%. The 99%, you know. And I hope that wins out. I hope that just more it resonates and stays there, and the Democratic Party is reminded that those are not voices they can ignore. So I guess every hour, 11 minutes, I said my bit. I'm tired of people walking past me and giving me funny looks here on the bench, staring across at a beautiful old house. I mean, it is a neat little town, but it's a tourist town. That is a for sure. So, boys, girls, I think this is... I'm going to aim to make this a close. Maybe try and slap this together, put in a couple of tunes, and say sayonara for now. And maybe do a little recording from camp. First time at the new camp this year. I just got an email saying, oh, gee, the person in charge of our program, who was going to be off with due to maternity leave, has had to leave early, so we've got somebody else. So I don't quite know what to expect when we get there, other than we're not supposed to have alcohol. And the one thing about camp that I enjoyed the most when we were at Bart Lake was we had our own little beer fridges, and I always had it well stocked full of different kinds of beer. And every single day, and sometimes even in the afternoon when the group was off doing high ropes or something, I was back in my room enjoying a cold beer. I don't think that's going to happen on this tour, so I'm going to, damn it. There are going to be some adjustments to be made. So, Scarborough Dude, yours truly. Also, affectionately known as Ken, your friend. Signing out. Stay tuned. There'll be more coming your way. Even if it takes a while, I'll record from Ottawa. I'll definitely record from Quebec City, as I always do. And then I'm staying in Montreal for a couple of days. So if anybody hears this and you're in Montreal, I'm going to be there Sunday, whatever is that, June 7th or August 7th. Monday night I'm staying over, August 8th. And then I guess on Tuesday, August 9th, I just booked a first class via rail train ticket back to Toronto. So I'm only staying two extra nights, but I'll be there. So if you're around, text me, message me, tweet me, email me, dixonjanes@gmail.com. Signing off from Niagara-on-the-Lake, 2016. Bye-bye. Thank you.
strange, the word we arrange, with no thought of care, maker of despair, each breath that we breathe, with love we must weave to make us as one. You know it makes me want to cry. Unless with love we ride, to throw it away, to lose just a day. The quicksand of time, you know it makes me want to cry.